Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
You know what? Fuck it. I fucking up and hit record right now. What's up? I saw recording right now. What's up?
What's up, fam? Welcome back.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Sorry that we missed last week. Our life, well, my life imploded.
Life sometimes just smacks you in the face like 20 times in a row. And that was last week.
Yeah, yet again, Liz and I have both just experienced a parallel universe of what the other one is going through. So I'm not going to
talk about that later.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. We might
bring it up in a future episode, but we're alive. The same life again.
We're alive and we're thriving. Okay, we are thriving. We have big news. We always have big news.
We do. So excited. Should we start with the big news?
Oh, fuck yeah. Exciting. Tell the people.
Okay, so Brooke and I are both vaccinated, and I booked a plane ticket to go see her at the end of June, and it'll be the first time since we have seen each other in person since like 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because in 2016, I moved out to Denver, and we didn't start recording this podcast together until last year.
In April.
Yeah. Actually, yesterday was our 1 year anniversary.
And it was Bing's birthday.
It was Bing's birthday.
Well, no wonder you said you didn't feel good yesterday.
You're right.
Oh my God. That's why you didn't feel good.
I told Brooke, I talked to you in the morning and I felt great. But honest to God, like after I got off the phone with you, I ended up just like my day kind of tanked from there. And I recognized that I was having a bad mental health day, but I really couldn't put a finger on what it was at all. I literally was sitting there thinking, okay, why are you feeling this way? Like you haven't felt this way in a long time and there's nothing to provoke it. Like, being very honest with myself, I could not figure out why I felt like mental shit. And it was Bingley's 11th birthday. Yeah. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
I told you, I was telling you this morning, like, I just couldn't figure it out. And I just felt like actual shit. Even my brother, he saw that I was not having a good day. And we went out together and he bought me a bottle of wine. Like he bought me this bottle of wine because I visibly looked like I was feeling shit. And I just couldn't figure it out. And it was Bingley's 11th birthday.
Moment of silence for Mr. Bing.
Yeah. He's still with me. I feel him all the time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I still see his little nose pop up in the corner all the time.
Mm-hmm. I feel him sitting on my lap all the time. There are times where I actually, when I'm like laying in bed and it feels like there's a cat laying on top of me and I have to look now because I don't know if it's like Bingley in spirit or my actual cat Garf in the flesh. Like I can feel a cat sitting on me. It's so real. And they will both sit on my lap in the same place that I have to like move my laptop or something and look. Cause like, I can't tell the difference anymore. So he's still around. I like to think that he and Garf are BFFs and they share secrets. Bing spills all the beans about me to him. And he tells Garf where to sleep because, like, you know, I mean, they're both Siamese. Bingley was a Siamese cat. Garf is a Siamese cat. So maybe they have similar mannerisms, but Garfunkel does very similar things that Bingley did, which just, like, bring me a lot of comfort. And I'm like, Bingley told him to do that. So
fucking cute.
And actually, very recently, I told you, I was like, you know, I think I want to get, like, a memorial piece for him. Like, get a ring made for him or a necklace or something just to feel like I have him with me always. I already do feel like he's with me always. But, yeah, yep. That's probably why I felt like shit yesterday. See, I would have never put that together.
Yeah. It was absolutely because it was his birthday and your spirit knew it. And you mentioned it like 3 times in the past month that it was going to be his birthday.
That's true. And then the day came and I totally, like, over my head. It was over my head. Yeah.
That happened to me 1 year. I think I told you. The whole day I was just like, go, 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 go. And I realized at the very end of the day, once Alex texted me, how are you feeling? That it was like the 7th or 8th year anniversary of my dad dying. And she remembered and I had forgotten and just like, that's a good ass friend. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Isn't that so weird how your spirit can remember things like that when your ego is so, like, off doing its normal thing?
Yeah.
And can affect, like, your mental health or your physical body. That's shit's insane.
Yeah. It just goes to the body keeps a score, man.
It does. It does.
Happy birthday, Bing. We love you.
Happy birthday, Spirit Bing. Also, hope everybody did their taxes. His birthday is on April 15th.
I think they extended it this year.
Oh, okay. That's
nice. In honor of Bingley.
In honor of Bingley, we'd like to extend everybody's taxes.
That's so fucking funny.
Actually, so I don't know his, we never knew his real birthday because he was adopted from the shelter. And I mean, we got him pretty young, so maybe they probably knew his birthday was in April, but they didn't know the day. And my mom picked it, and she, whenever she picked pets' birthdays, she would pick memorable dates so that it would help her remember that date. And I'm pretty sure she picked April 15th to remind her to do her taxes.
That is very Sharon and very on brand for her. And I love that. Yeah. I love that. What the hell?
So yeah, that's the big news is I'm going to visit Brooke in June and we're going to get to record together in the flesh. And I've been screaming about it all day. She literally messaged me this morning with a specific date to where I could come visit her. And in 5 seconds later, I was like, I booked the plane.
I know. It was just such a good feeling. Today was a very good day.
Yeah, it was. It was. I mean, so many positive things that happened today.
Very
and,
many.
And it's Friday. We're kicking off the weekend. There's a lot of positive energy going around and I'm here for it.
Yeah, me too. I like when it's like a Friday and I mean, first of all, I like when it's a Friday, but two, I like when it's a Friday and you're like, I got that nice feeling of like, I know I don't got to get work tomorrow. I don't have anything pressing mm-hmm. I have to do tomorrow.
Yes.
I just appreciate it.
Yep. 100%.
Well, I feel like Lexapro has enabled me to enjoy my weekends, like to That's genuinely good. Like, cause you know how much I would dread the weekends.
Yeah.
Constantly.
And like, for me, I'm somebody, apparently there's a term for this and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but I am somebody who stays up super late, partially like I am definitely a night owl, but I am also taking revenge on the fact that my day is taken away from me by work. So I stay up late into the evening, early morning, because I'm like, I need some goddamn time for me. And I am literally taking revenge on the day. And during the weekend, I'm like, this is my time. I get to take revenge for 2 full days.
This is my time. This is me time. So ugly.
So like Friday, honestly, am I the only one that feels like this? But sometimes Friday evening feels even better than Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Because
on Saturday, I'm like, shit, tomorrow's Sunday, which is my last free day. But yep. Friday, I'm like, bitch, Friday, the possibilities are endless.
Friday evenings just have, yeah, there's just, it's just an open arena of possibility.
Right. Yeah. And like, you know, if I wanted to drink a full bottle of wine on a Friday evening, like, fuck, I will do it because I don't have to be anywhere the next day or the next day. And that's a great feeling. But speaking of which, I am drinking some wine right now. I have drinking probably a half a bottle of wine tonight. What am I drinking right now? Yellowtail Pinot Noir. It was $7 and I highly recommend it.
She's a freaking wine connoisseur now, y'all. Yeah.
And by connoisseur, I mean I pick up the cheapest wine that I know tastes good.
Well, good.
And it works for me. So, yeah.
Oh, I can't stop smiling. I don't even know what the hell I'm smiling about. I'm just smiling.
I just, there's like, we have positive things to look forward to in the future right now. Like, there was a long time that went by where maybe not that, like, so for a long time, things have been uncertain, like with the whole world. And even though we have been we've been privileged enough to, like, you know, neither of us lost our jobs. And we really weren't ever even concerned about it. I mean, like, you know, at least for me, it was a possibility, but it was a very unlikely possibility. So, like, I think the two of us in general have been pretty privileged during this time. But at the same time, like, things have been very scary and unknown and uncertain. And we've had nothing to look forward to. We couldn't plan vacations. We couldn't even see our friends for the longest time. It's only recently that we've been, like, seeing our friends in person. We haven't even known for the longest time when we were going to be able to get a vaccine, and now we're both vaccinated. Like, things are just looking up, and I fucking booked a plane ticket. Like,
we weren't expecting to see each other till September, so that's
no huge,
that's so exciting.
Yeah, exactly. So I think things are just feeling not like they're going to go back to normal, and I don't want them to go back to normal. Like, we need to move forward, not go backwards. But things are just looking up, and there's like a lot of things to smile about, which, you know, get your damn serotonin where you can.
Yeah. I love. I love us. I love our friendship. Yeah. I love how we have just, I don't know, we've just stood strong in the face of adversity. Okay,
that is 100% true. and we might open up in the future about our other major life events that have just correlated, and it might not surprise anybody anymore if you've listened to our other episodes where we've talked about this shit.
Yep,
but here we are living the same damn life again.
Living the same life all the time. I know. Fucking whatever. Twins.
Yep. Astro twins. We're the Astro twins.
The Astro twins. Fuck them other women. Yeah. JK, love them. But still, yeah. As I say, yeah. As their book is literally behind me.
Right.
But so today's episode is actually going to be about early childhood memories. And I think this is going to be the last episode of this series before we either start another series or break off into, like, for a while doing, you know, our chatty thing where it's a different topic and we're just catching up on shit every week. But so we don't really have a specific like direction. I just kind of figured, well, we can just go back and forth. Like, one person shares a early memory, good or bad, the other one shares theirs. So
yeah. And it ties in with the series because this is the inner child work series. And, you know, we've talked about attachment types and inner child archetypes and how from an early age, thing, you know, things that happen in your life and certain circumstances have led to, you know, maybe how you deal with relationships and attachment styles and how you deal with situations, and how from early on, even in the first few moments, few hours of birth, like how that can affect you in the rest of your life. And so now we just wanted to talk about some of our early childhood memories, because I think we both, again, have a similar circumstance going on with early childhood memories, and we'll talk about maybe the lack thereof and some of the things that we're both kind of interested in doing to dive into that, and also what it takes to dive into early childhood memories and maybe cautionary advice on, you know, being in a good place to dive into early childhood memories and things like that, because it can be some traumatizing things going on. So yeah,
you never know what you might uncover.
You never know what you're gonna find in there.
So I don't know. Do you have one that you think of off the top of your head? I have one.
Okay. So maybe we should start off with, and we talked about this just briefly, Brooke and I almost literally spit out a whole podcast before we hit record, because we just started talking about this shit. And Brooke was like, wait, I have to hit record. Because we just started talking. So I feel like something that's very interesting is when people are like, what's your earliest childhood memory? And to me, that is very difficult to pinpoint, because I'll throw it out there from the beginning. I would say I remember my memories start at 12 and up. I do have an idea of memories of things that happened to me as a child, but they're all things that my parents told me and family members told me happened. And also from photos. I am a firstborn, and my mom definitely took way more photos of me because I was the first child. And then, you know, second baby comes along, and she's like, yeah, whatever, I'll take a few here and there. So there's definitely more photos and home videos of me. I got fancier clothes because, like, I was the first baby girl. And
just say you hate your brother and leave.
I have firstborn syndrome. But like, so there's a lot of photos of me. There's a lot of videos of me. So I have seen a lot of these memories, but I don't actually, without people telling me things that happened, without photos, my memory started 12 and up. I would have never remembered any of those things on my own. So like, should I say the first memory I feel like I actually have? Or should I talk about, because like, so I broke my arm when I was 4 years old. I fell down 2 flights of stairs. I was carrying a blanket and I tripped on the blanket, tumbled down 2 flights of stairs. I only remember this because I was told that's what happened.
Maybe like, that's why you can't remember a whole lot.
Because I got fucking brain damage from starting early on.
Your brain's all rattled up in there.
And I don't know, like, is that something that people would remember? Like, if you were 4 and you tumbled down 2 flights of stairs and broke your arm, would you remember that? Because I don't. I have just been told that happened to me, and I have seen photos of me wearing a little pink cast on my arm, and I know I had a pink cast, and that's literally about it. Remember nothing else. That's so funny. I would say that's the earliest memory that I know of that has been told to me. But if nobody told me that, I wouldn't remember a fucking clue. But I think my earliest memory, you know, actually, I would say it was probably 10, not 12. 12 is when I started remembering things consistently. And that's when I moved back to Waynesboro into the house that I was in, that we lived in together. So pretty much starting there on, when I moved into that home, I remember things. I grew up in Waynesboro, moved to Norfolk for a year on the coast, and then moved back to Waynesboro because it just didn't work out living over there. My parents were divorced, and my dad still lived in Waynesboro, and I spent every weekend, they had dual custody, and I spent every weekend in the car for 6 hours, and that was just hell. So we ended up moving back. But I do remember moving out. I don't remember really living in the home that I grew up in, which was beautiful. I've gone back and visited that home. We know the people who bought it from us, and they've like let me walk through it and see it again. They're very sweet people. And they've done, like, I've seen the renovations, and they kept the pond that my mom built in the backyard. And that was like one of her pride and joys was like, she built this pond all on her own and would spend all summer practically sitting in the pond because it was so damn hot. We didn't have a pool. But I remember leaving that home, like my life being uprooted and having to go live in Norfolk, Virginia, in this 2-bedroom apartment that's all my mom could afford on her own. And there were 3 of us. And I ended up like, my bedroom for that 1 year was like a walk-in closet that we turned into a bedroom. It was a pretty big walk-in closet. But I didn't like really have a bedroom of my own. Jonathan got the bedroom because he was still very young, my little brother. And my mom wanted him to be in the bedroom right next to her in case he woke up. He also used to sleepwalk, like chronic sleepwalker, and would do some crazy ass shit. And she would need to wake up and like attend to him immediately because he would be doing some crazy shit. So I would say like just probably the uproot of my life at the age of, that was 10 or 11, is when I started remembering things. I remember the room that I had, and I can remember like walking up to our apartment unit. And like, that was also the first time I lived in an apartment, because prior to that, I lived in like this old historic Victorian home in the tree streets of Waynesboro. And if you're from that area, you know what the tree streets are. And it was very chaotic. I had to leave school early, and I never got to go to birthday parties or anything on the weekend because I had to go back to Waynesboro and spend time with my dad. So I never got to like do things with my friends. I had to leave school early because Norfolk traffic was so bad that we would get stuck in that tunnel going to Virginia Beach for like 4 hours.
Say Norfolk traffic 3 times fast.
I know, right?
Norfolk traffic.
It was fucking hell. So like, I got out of school early so that we could beat the traffic. I remember reading Boxcar Children. Did you ever read those books?
Yes.
I was reading Boxcar Children books that I would get from the library, and I read through all of them, and I would only read them in the car trips, like between my parents. But yeah, I mean, it's not like they weren't necessarily like good memories, you know? I mean, like, I can remember good things, but I just remember my earliest memories are very chaotic. Lots of my parents argued, and you know, I kind of felt like I felt like I was living out of a suitcase for a very long time. I think I've brought that up before in previous episodes during different times where, you know, I was at one parent's house for 3-4 days and at the other parent's house for 3 or 4 days. And sometimes it was very hard for me to feel like I could unpack, because I was constantly just putting my clothes back in a suitcase and going somewhere else. And there were times where I was like, why even unpack? Because I'm going to be shuffled around going places. So everywhere kind of felt temporary until I moved back to Waynesboro into that house we lived in together. And like that ended up feeling like my home. But up until then, things just, I always felt were very temporary for me. So... but yeah, I haven't really delved into why I don't remember my early childhood memories, and it's only recently that I've realized I've probably blocked things out that were traumatic. I literally have no idea what they would be. I've blocked them out. I used to think that nobody remembered their childhood memories. I was just like, wait, like, how would you remember that? Like, And I just thought it was normal not to remember childhood memories. I would just think like, oh, that was so long ago. Like, nobody can remember that shit. Like, you were like four. How would you remember that? But no, actually people do remember their childhood. So I would definitely be interested this year to try out a hypnotherapy session, just to see if I can just figure out details, because I feel like I'm in a good place. And that's also something, like, if you feel like you don't remember things or like something bad may have happened, before you go digging into that, you know, make sure you're in a good place, because you might find out some pretty traumatic shit. It's blocked out for a reason. So yeah, that's the end. that's kind of my, like, I don't know. That's really my earliest childhood memories that I remember on my own, is like being like 11 and moving away.
I think. I'm yawning. I think my earliest memory, I really don't know if it's my, I mean, I'm just gonna go with it. I think my earliest memory is of being in my diaper on my dad's back porch, and I was like 2 or 3, and this was like back when my like biological mom would like come up to his house sometimes when I was up at his house. And it was like very sporadic. Like, I mean, she was like never there. She would like, and she didn't like drive. She would like walk or like hitchhike to his house. It was very unsafe, but do you, girl? And she came up there, and I had, do you remember those little things that they were like, there would be fish on this like spinning platform, and you'd have a little fishing pole with a string, and you'd have, there's a magnet, and you'd go, yep, quote, like fishing.
Yes, I loved that game.
I had one of those, and I remember playing a game where I was saying, if I go fishing and I get 2 fish, there will be 2 fireworks tonight. I guess it was like July the 4th or something. And I said, if I go fishing and I get 3 fish, there will be 3 fireworks tonight. And I was just like thinking, I don't know why, and whatever, but my mom was out there with me. And I remember at this point of my childhood, like, somebody was giving me a lot of grape soda. Like, I always had grape or orange soda, and I loved grape soda so much. And to this day, like, I do not drink soda. It disgusts me. I'm surprised all my little teeth didn't rot out as a child. But I was in my diaper. I had grape soda. And I remember my dad used to put ice cubes in the bottles for me. He'd freeze like round ice cubes, and he'd put them in the bottle so it'd be nice and cold. But I remember my mom took a ice cube and she dropped it in my diaper, thinking it was like funny or something, I guess. And I'm like screaming, running around like a tiny toddler, over my diaper having an ice cube in it, because that's like cold, you know. I'm like an infant, and like, you just put a diaper on my butthole, pretty much. Like, Jesus Christ, who does that, weirdo? And she was like cracking. She thought it was so funny, laughing at me, and she was like telling my dad, like, look, like, it's so fun. Like, it was ridiculous, not funny at all. I mean, I was probably laughing, but like,
yeah,
I remember. That is one of the only memories I have of them, like, even in the same room together, or like in the same area together. And then there was another part, same house, a different situation. One, we watched a Christmas movie together at my dad's house. I don't have any memory of, I think it was The Grinch, but I don't have any memory of what happened. I just remember like him being on one side of me on the couch and her being on the other. And then my most traumatic memory I have is I was, again, in my diaper. I tended to live in my diaper, apparently. And I had on an oversized t-shirt. And I remember running back to my bedroom at my dad's house and just like cowering behind the door, because they were fighting, screaming and fighting with each other. Or no, my mother was screaming. My dad wasn't screaming. And she was throwing things like plant pots and stuff at him and just hollering her fucking head off. And she was scared. Like, I was scared. She was the one who was scaring me. And I remember standing like with my back on the wall right beside the door frame. And all of a sudden her face like comes through the door frame and she looks over at me and she was like, "Look, Robert, you scared her." Like, said that to my dad when like the reason I'm hiding is because you are the one screaming and throwing things. Like, it was like a classic, like the most manipulative, like gaslighty kind of first memory to have is what I have. And it to this day, like, I've never forgotten that. It always has made me so mad because he had a lawyer for something. It was something to do with like a workers' comp thing. And I remember it was like a woman. It was a female lawyer and she had come to the house and I was there. I was there the entire time. And she had spoken to him outside for like 10 minutes. And my mom like found out about it and like, I guess thought he cheated on her or something with this woman. And it was just like, I was too young to even know what cheated meant, but I knew like inherently, like she thinks he did something bad. Like he did something bad and that's what she's screaming at him. And it was ridiculous. My dad probably called my grandma to come and get me, or maybe he told my mom to leave. I don't have any memory of like what happened after that, but I do just remember her like thinking like, or her like sticking her face around the corner and just looking at me and being like, "Look what you did. You scared her." Like, what in the hell?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's very, I don't think I have anything that's like super happy.
It really blows my mind to hear that you have a memory of you in diapers or like pull-ups or whatever, just being that young.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it makes me really curious, and it also makes me be like, do I want to open that Pandora's box? Literally. It's just so crazy to think that you can remember that.
I have a memory of being super tiny and pooping behind my grandma's couch. I would always get like scared and I would run and do it. And that could be linked something to like being in diapers at a pivotal point, like my parents' relationship where they were screaming at each other. And like, if you get stuck in like that, there's like what, it's like oral stage, anal stage, and something else. If you get like stuck in one of those stages, like I bite my nails because at some point in my life, I got stuck in like the oral stage for with anxiety or something.
And I wonder if there's a teeth stage, because I used to be and still am to this day a teeth grinder. And I was a major teeth grinder as a child too.
I don't know, actually. I want to know oral. I don't want to look up. Well, I'm going to look up oral and anal and it's going to pop up.
You're gonna regret it.
Hold on. Let me look up oral anal stage children. That Freud's five stages of psychosexual development. Okay. Oral, anal, phallic, latent, and genital.
Mm-hmm.
So phallic, I think, is like when they're like you get like obsessed with like learning about what parts you have. I don't know.
Yeah.
So the oral stage is between birth to 18 months. During this time, an infant gets the most pleasure from their mouth. This is associated with behaviors like eating and thumb sucking.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Cause sometimes, you know, I've heard parents tell other parents, which there should be no parental shaming, like, "Oh, your kid still sucks their thumb. Like, you should really get them to cut that out." But like, they're probably stuck in the oral stage. They're stuck sucking their thumb for whatever reason, you know, some people, or like they have the binky, like they use a binky for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much how that goes. And it's crazy to think that something like so natural as like having a binky could like, I mean, your kid could get like stuck in that stage. I don't know any adults that suck on their finger, but I'm sure they're out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's interesting is to like, try to figure out why, like, instead of just being like, "Oh damn, my kid's been sucking on this binky for way too long." Like, it just knowing that there are stages that kids can get stuck in, and maybe parents know this and I wasn't aware of this because I don't have children, but like just asking the question, like, instead of just focusing on oh my God, my kid can't be sucking on a binky. They're three or whatever. Just like stopping and asking, like, why? Like, why is my kid still want this binky if it's normal for them to grow out of it? Yeah. Or, you know, it's just, I think it's good to just be aware of stages like that. And I don't know, I know for a fact that teeth grinding is stress related, and my childhood was very stressful. And I've talked about my teeth dreams many times on this podcast. I have had teeth dreams for as long as I can remember. Like, I don't remember, and I don't have them anymore. But when I was having them, I didn't remember a time where I wasn't having them. Like, I always remember having that repeating dream of my teeth falling out as long as I could remember. And I can't pinpoint when it started, but I know it's like stress related for sure. I also used to have a repeating dream as a child where I would be sitting on a couch with a man who was on fire next to me. Like, a guy was on fire.
Jesus.
And I was in this unknown house, but I wasn't afraid of him. Like, I would sit there and just talk with him. And this whole time, this guy was on fire next to me. And I was having that dream, like, as a young person. I don't know what the fuck that means, but I guess I said that because I started talking about dreams. Yeah, you know, that's probably also something to analyze. Like, if you had repeating dreams as a child, you know, I think that's probably like something to look into, just to try and understand like what was going on with your psyche at the time.
Oh my God. Actually, now that I think about it, I used to have this recurring dream that this like thing would come into my bedroom, and it had like a cloak on, and it like didn't have like scalp or hair. It was just like two brains sticking out of the top of its head, and it had these long nails, and it would pick up my Shania Twain CDs and it would scratch them. And I always used to get so upset. And you know what song? You know what song I heard in my dream when this thing was scratching it? Have you ever heard the song Juanita by Shania Twain? If you ever like look, you got to look that song up. Like,
I, off the top of my head, I can't think of that song.
It was not a song that like I, like a child would want to hear in their dream. Like, it, like, just think of like when you listen to the song, or like if you guys listening, if you listen to the song, just imagine the beginning of my dream starting with the beginning of the song. And it's just like so disconcerting. Like, it's just,
oh my God.
It's just not, it's got like a very like kind of Spanish vibe to it. So it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Like, this fucking thing is coming in scratching up my Shania Twain CDs.
Damn, bitch. How rude.
Not the Shania. Come on. I was in love with her. I was in love with Shania Twain.
Damn. You know, another repeating dream I've had, I don't think I've brought this one up before, but as just being young and like being like, I don't, you know, as early as I can remember, like 10 and up, is I would have this dream where I was in a giant endless house, and I would enter the house and it wouldn't look that big. But then when I would get in the home, it would almost become like this endless hotel hallway. Like, the hallway looked like it never ended. And there were all these different doors, and I couldn't ever decide what room I wanted to stay in. Like, I had the ability to pick whatever room I wanted in this house, and I would end up never going to sleep, because I would spend all of the night going through, because each room had like a different wallpaper, a different theme, a different color. Sometimes there were people in these rooms already, like just doing their thing. And I'd open the door and be like, oh, hey, I might want to stay in this room. and then most of them were empty, but I would just spend all night opening and closing. And I would go from one side of the hallway to this door. And then I would go to the other side of the hallway and open the next door. And I would kind of zigzag down the hallway. And by the end of the dream, like, I would feel exhausted, but I couldn't sleep, because I was like, but there's so many more doors to open. I don't know which bedroom I want to sleep in.
Oh my God.
Isn't that bizarre? Yeah. Hearing your crazy ass Shania dream, I thought I'd share that.
Well, okay, so your door dream also reminds me of something else from my childhood. I don't know if I ever showed you this. I had a book. It was blue. I've kept it my whole life. It's a blue book, and it was like a book that you could have created for a kid for their birthday. So it was all about me, and it was like personalized for me and my friends and stuff like that. And it was a little birthday book, and it had like July, Brooke's like 6th birthday. And in the book, I actually fall asleep on my birthday and I have a nap. I take a nap on my birthday and I'm greeted with this big, long hallway full of doors. And in each door, there's a party related thing. Like in one door, there's circus animals, and another door, there's tons of cakes and cookies. And another one, there's like party favors. And there's like 10 doors. And then in the very last door, I open it up and it's like everyone who loves me is like in there for my birthday party. And I wake up and I forget what happens, whatever in the book, but like whatever it is, I wake up and then I have a party. Like I have my actual birthday party or something. Like after
I have one of those books too. I don't remember what's in it, but I have one of those.
Oh my God. I wonder if that was like something that was like super popular back then.
That probably was. That's probably like, I don't know what the equivalent is nowadays for parents to like do for their kids, but it must have been popular because my mom made me one of those too. I don't remember the storyline though. You know what my favorite book though was as a child?
What?
Was Harold and the Purple Crayon.
I never heard of that.
Okay, so I still have the book. It's huge. And it's a book about dreams. And Harold falls asleep and he has a purple crayon. And he falls asleep with the purple crayon and he wakes up in his dreams and he can draw whatever he wants. So if he draws stairs, he can then walk up the stairs. And he would draw shooting stars and he could ride the shooting stars and he would draw whole like cityscapes. Like it looked like a downtown, and then he could go inside the building. So he could draw whatever he wanted and it became real, and he could draw a car and ride in the car, or he could draw a building and go in the building, and he would draw himself a bed and he would get in bed, and then he would draw himself a blanket on top of himself, and then he was warm and he had a blanket on top of himself.
He's like fucking, what is it? Doodle Bob?
Yeah, kind of like a pleasant version of Doodle Bob. Yeah. It was only in his dream. Like he could only do this in his dream. So it was always at nighttime and it was very dream based. That kind of reminded me of that.
That's wild. I had no idea. I thought I was the only kid in the world for like a long time. I was like, oh my God, this book was written for me and only me. No one else has one.
So special.
That's such a good idea for a kid though. It's so nice. I mean, the tiniest things that you do remember from your childhood, like think to like, do you remember the first birthday cake that your mom got you that you really liked? You're like, oh my God, like this is the most amazing birthday cake ever.
So I do know what my first birthday cake looked like because there's photos of it. It was Blue's Clues themed. And I had a Blue's Clues first birthday. But the first cake that I actually remember having, the first really cool cake I remember having, again from photos, was it was like a sandcastle cake. And my Aunt Karen actually flew out from Los Angeles and she was there for my birthday and she made that. And from the photos, I remember being like, oh my God, that actually looks like a sandcastle. She is an amazing cake decorator. But the first cake I actually remember without photos was like an okay memory. Like it was kind of negative, but like I was being stupid. I think it was my 13th birthday. And it was the first time that I had like really made friends after moving back. And do you remember the Dairy Queen in Waynesboro? In front of Kmart, it was a tiny little like pagoda that you could walk up to.
Yeah.
So they had picnic tables all around, and that my 13th birthday was there, and I invited my friends, and I didn't get to pick the cake. My dad just showed up with a cake, and it was Little Mermaid themed. And I was mortified because at 13, you know, like that's that age where you're like, I'm way too old for this shit. And I thought, my friends are going to think that this is like a little kid party. What am I going to do? And so I quickly ate the icing that had like the Little Mermaid on it. So it just looked like a blue cake. So before any of my friends got there, I had eaten shit off the top of it that had like Little Mermaid. Cause I thought my friends were going to like think that this was like a little kid birthday party. So I had eaten shit off the top of the cake before anybody got there. So it just looked like a blue cake to everybody who showed up. And I ate all the decorations that were the Little Mermaid.
That is some serious dedication.
Yeah. Yep. Which is so stupid. But at the time I was like, I am way too mature for the Little Mermaid. What is this? Like,
I loved The Little Mermaid.
The Little Mermaid was literally my favorite Disney princess, which is why my dad picked The Little Mermaid. But I had snapped at age 13 and was like, no, no Disney princesses. That's for babies.
Well, age 13 is kind of like, yeah, that's you know. We're moving on up to like Aeropostale and fucking Hollister. And we don't want no damn Disney bullshit.
Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. So that was a weird time to be alive. And I just was like, oh my God, my friends are going to judge me for having my best friends to this day. Their favorite Disney princess is the fucking Little Mermaid. I was just being stupid. I was literally just being stupid.
And you hormonal. Literally ate all the fucking toppings off the cake.
I wonder if they noticed that. I would love to ask them. Be like, did you notice that my 13th birthday cake had like shit eaten off the top before you had any? I don't know. So that's the first cake that I actually remember without any photos. I don't think there are any photos of it. I wouldn't let anybody take a photo of it until I ate Little Mermaid shit off. I was like, no.
I ate the Little Mermaid shit off.
I don't think I've ever told you this memory.
No, you haven't. I love when I learn new things about you.
Yeah, so.
Wait, you know what you need to tell them? Your blue dot on your forehead.
Oh shit. Okay, so and again, I would not know. I would literally, if I wasn't told what happened, I would be like, why the fuck do I have a blue dot on my forehead? Because I have no memory of that shit happening. I have just been told what happened. So I have a permanent blue dot on my forehead. And if anybody as a child was ever like stabbed by a pencil or like wood, like I know a couple of people that have blue dots like on their body somewhere because they got stabbed by a lead pencil or something. But when I was in kindergarten, apparently I was playing hide and go seek or hide and go seek tag, if we're going to be specific. And the person who was seeking found me. So I started running because they had to tag me for me to be out of the game. And I was on my school playground. It was recess or something. And I had run straight into a fucking treehouse. I ran fuck into a treehouse, like hell. And I just, boom. I think my mom told me I ran into the ladder of the treehouse, which was wood. And I got a splinter in my forehead above my right eyebrow. And I was deathly terrified of tweezers and needles, like sharp objects, especially being near my face. Like that gave me a panic attack and I freaked the fuck out. And I would not let anybody pull that splinter out of my forehead. Wouldn't let anybody go near it. And it wasn't like sticking out very far. Like it was barely sticking out. So my mom just was like, well, it's gonna stay there because I would literally not let anybody touch it. And it just kind of, I don't know, like it my skin, it eventually disintegrated at some point in my fucking forehead, but it left behind blue dye. And I essentially have a blue tattoo on my forehead. It's a dot the size of pencil lead. Like you would think somebody took a blue pen and just took a, you know, did a mark on my forehead. But yeah, that's from me running into a goddamn treehouse and getting a splinter and not letting anybody pull it out.
Literally, like, this fucking epitome of your personality. Like, this hurts. I know someone could help me. Leave it alone. I will just live with it.
Yep.
It's like your freaking tooth.
Yep.
I know that there is help available. I'm not going to take it.
No, I can do this on my own. Fucking issues with authority from 2 years old.
Or wait. Five. If we're talking about that, then you also have to tell them about your toes.
Oh shit, how I like fucked up all the nerve endings in my toes. Wait, that story? I have a lot of toe stories. Okay. So, I literally, when I was a teenager, wore flip-flops into the snow because I was told to wear snow boots. I was told to wear snow boots because there's snow out there. Makes sense, right? No, you can't fucking tell me what to do. I'm going to walk out in the snow in flip-flops. And I went on a whole ass walk in flip-flops in the snow because I thought I can do whatever the fuck I want. And I ended up getting frostbite in my two pinky toes and fucked up the nerve endings. And to this day, I'm lucky I didn't lose my toes. I am lucky I didn't fucking become toeless, which I would have fit in with the family because I have other family members that lost their toes in stupid ways. And, toes. Yeah, my grandpa's missing a toe too.
How did he lose his fucking toe?
He was mowing the lawn barefoot and his foot slipped under the lawnmower.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Are you kidding? Gary.
Yeah, Gary.
Are you kidding me, Gary?
Yeah. He refused to wear shoes.
It runs in your family. Y'all are nuts. Y'all are nuts. Why do y'all have a fucking issue against shoes?
My mom never wore shoes either.
Y'all, it's like y'all want to step on a dirty needle and get tetanus.
Right. You know,
you ain't wrong. Oh, fuck.
And to this day, when my feet get cold, my pinky toes go numb and I can't feel them because, like, I've just damaged the nerve endings.
You are nuts.
I know.
I'm literally insane.
Literally no reason. There. What was the reason?
What was the reason?
Why did you do that? Yeah, and actually my grandpa lost his toe and my mom, my aunt, and then my grandma had to come out in the front yard and find it. They found the toe. They took him to the hospital and they told him, yeah, we can totally sew this back on. You'll be fine. We can totally sew this back on. And you'll just have to like be off your feet for like 4 weeks, like a month. And he was like, no, that's too long. I don't have time for that. I don't need the toe. And he just said, fuck the toe.
He just said, fuck the toe.
The toe, that's too long. It was literally 4 weeks that he just had to like be gentle on his foot.
Oh my God. You guys are insane. You're all like, I'm like, I don't understand like how everyone in your family is like a water sign, but like they be acting like fucking Aries out here.
Literally. So my mom and I, cancers,
Gary,
my grandma, my aunt, and her son are all Pisces. Like, we're all crazy ass water signs.
Apparently y'all think y'all belong in the water and you're trying to cut your legs off limb by limb, toe by toe, and grow your little mermaid tails and get back in the water where you belong. Like, fuck the toe. Like, are you kidding me? Like, no. Yeah. I'll fucking,
that was, he lost a pretty important toe. It was the second one, like next to the big toe. Like, he can't wear flip-flops anymore. It's kind of an important one. Like, it's not a pinky toe. Like, who gives a fuck about the pinky toe?
I thought the pinky toe was like,
I thought the pinky toe.
But I thought the pinky toe was important.
I guess it does help you balance. I think it helps. Okay, the one next to the pinky toe. Fuck that one. Nobody needs that one.
I'm going to keep all 10 of mine. You and your nutty ass family can cut off all your damn toes if you want. Get the fuck out of here. You said, fuck the toe. Nobody needs that one anyways. I swear to God, if I'm ever in a situation with you where one of my toes is compromised and you decide to cut it off and you're like, you don't need it anyways, I will never fucking forgive you.
No, I will help you save your toe. I will always help you save your toes. But if it comes off and you don't want it. Fuck that toe.
You don't need it anyway.
Fuck that toe. I'm like a cheerleader. You don't want that toe? Fuck that toe.
That reminds me the other night. I forget what Rose and I were laughing about, but it had to do with Joe Exotic. And we were also talking about toes. And so I looked at her and I said, Toe Exotic.
What happened to that guy?
He's still in jail.
Oh. He was hoping Trump would get him out of jail, I'm pretty sure.
If Trump had pardoned Joe Exotic, I would just truly believe we were not living in a real.
That would be my proof that this is a matrix. That would have been the proof, like for real.
I agree.
we're just living in a simulation.
I'm just living in a simulation. That's all it is. It's not
like Sims. And I'm guessing Sims is short for simulation.
Yeah, it is.
See? Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
That would have been the proof. That's all I would have needed.
How did we even get on the topic of toes?
Early childhood memories.
Oh, I got another one. Okay. What? So the this girl that I used to live like across from growing up, one time we were in my backyard and I've talked about on this podcast before, very bitchy ass person. Like she calls me so many friendship like problems, like in my older years where I just didn't really know the way I needed to be treated, like the right kind of friends to have.
I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about. Excuse me. So one day we were in my backyard, and because she was such a shitty friend, it will not shock you to hear me say that she was throwing rocks at me. And I was running towards my front yard. I don't know where I was going. I just knew I needed to go because she was going to knock me out with a fucking rock. And our next door neighbor had just gotten an RV, and she was chucking those rocks, and I ran past the RV and she missed me and she broke one of the RV windows.
Oh shit.
And we immediately both just froze, and I let her catch up to me and she started shaking and she was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? And I just looked at her, I was like, I don't know. Run. And like she ran back across the street to her house, and then she called me from her house, like even though like we were literally, she was in her driveway and I was in my driveway, and she called me even though she was in her driveway and was, oh, she could, God, see me. She was looking at me from across the street on her phone, and she's like, what do I do? What do I do? And I'm like, I don't know. Why did you even go over there? Like, come back. Like, and what ended up happening was when they found out that the window had been broken, they blamed my dad. Actually, they said that my dad had must have been mowing and a rock flew up and hit the window, and that girl never told on herself. Like, she just let them blame my dad. Yeah. And I, and I didn't have the balls to stand up to her and tell them, like, no, it was actually her, like it wasn't my dad.
I'm guessing she probably didn't tell her. If that were me, my mom would have literally made my ass march across the street and apologize and tell them. There were tons of times in my childhood where I did shit and I told my mom everything, like literally told her shit that most kids would not tell their parents. And then she like forced me to go apologize for it. And I could just see her being like, you go apologize right now. You cannot come back in this house until you march across that street. And she just didn't say anything.
She said nothing.
Damn.
She said not shit.
That bitch.
Yeah, she didn't say anything. It was really, it was one of the scariest moments. Also,
kind of rude neighbors if they confronted your dad and was like, did you do this while cutting the grass in a rock? If he said no, like, no, like, I didn't do that. Like, they should have believed him.
They were super snooty. I mean, like, super, they always acted like they were too good to live in our neighborhood. Then why'd you buy a house there, bitch? You're clearly just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
Why do you think you are so much better off, bitch? Like,
oh my God, my neighbors, the ones across the street from, like, looking out my bedroom window that was above the garage, the old people across the street, they were so fucking sweet, but they would always come to whatever restaurant I fucking worked at and come sit in my section for like 5 hours and chat me up and then leave me $2 and, like, bless their heart. But God damn. I started, like, I would see them walking in and I remember telling the hostess, like, don't seat them in my section. Do not seat them in my section. Because they did come in to see me. So they ended up sitting in somebody else's section. They wouldn't stay for 5 hours, but they tipped everyone $2. And, you know, they thought that was a great tip. But when they sat in my section, they sat there over half my shift. And, like, at most of the restaurants I worked at, I had five tables in a section. And one of them would be taking up most of my goddamn shift and leave me $2. So I would see them coming and be like, don't you dare fucking seat them in my section.
They said, it's $2. Get yourself something nice, sweetie.
Get yourself something nice, honey.
Treat yourself.
I think my neighborhood was older. Although across the street was a girl that went to my high school. And they just had very problematic parents. And they definitely had a problematic living situation. But, like, she would... they would be out in the middle of the night smashing bottles in the street in front of my, like, in front of my driveway. So I would, like, reverse out of my driveway and roll over glass.
I love that for you.
Yeah. To this day, somebody paintballed my house. Don't know who the fuck that was.
Nice.
Somebody egged my bedroom window. Don't know who the fuck that was. And I was, like, literally, when I was... And this started happening when I went to public school. I had, like, 4 friends. Like, I was it would probably shock many people. I was very quiet. Like, I was very, very quiet. I was nervous leaving. I had spent my entire life going to private schools where I was friends with people for most of my, you know, for many, many years. And I was used to that environment. And I was taught to literally fear public school when I was in these private schools. So I was very nervous going there and I was very quiet, very timid. And a lot of people ended up not liking me and, like, they never met me. And I think they thought I was preppy. Cause, like, I couldn't go out. My mom couldn't afford to buy me a whole new wardrobe. So, like, I was still wearing my private school clothes cause that's all I had. And people thought I was snooty and stuck up, like, oh, look at her wearing her, prep school clothes, but, like, that's all I had. I literally didn't want to wear them. I thought they were hideous.
Aww.
But people just, like, hated me because they thought, like, they probably thought, like, oh, she thinks she's too good to go here. She should just go back to her private school kind of attitude. Like, I didn't want to be at my private school. I wanted to go to public school. I was the one who asked to leave. But, like, I had, like, 4 friends the 3 years, because I went to public school from 10th to 12th grade. So the remainder of my time there, I literally didn't have many friends. I was very quiet. And people just kind of were people hated me and, like, literally paintballed my house and egged my window. And I, to this day, don't know who the fuck did that.
If you're listening and you did that shit, reveal yourself.
Reveal yourself, bitch.
We just want to talk. We just want to talk. I will beat your ass. I will find you.
And one of the, like, I was trying to get out of my shell. So I joined student government and I ended up being, like, the treasurer my 11th grade year, or my 12th grade year. I think it was 12th grade. And they had put up, like, at the school, they put up your photo, like, who is in SGA, Student Government Association, and they put your title under it on, like, one of the bulletin boards. They have photos of who's in there. And it's framed. And somebody literally drew a Hitler stash on my face. Nobody else.
Why?
They didn't vandalize anybody else's photo. Somebody drew a Hitler stash on me. To this day, don't know who the fuck did that.
Why would anyone think, like, you're so harmless?
I was so quiet. I was a quiet art kid. I spent every free block I had and lunch. I didn't even eat lunch in the lunchroom because I had no friends. I literally ate lunch in the art room with my art teacher, because to this day, she's still one of my good friends. But I was so quiet. I was the quiet art kid. And you know how in high school, like, people, when they do art projects, like, they end up putting them up in the hallway, you know?
Yeah.
Did they do that at your school?
Yeah.
Okay, so somebody took their muddy footprint and stomped one of my art pieces while it was on the wall. Yeah. Somebody had it out for me, man.
Someone hated you.
Yeah. So you know what I did after that happened? I was so upset because, like, you know how attached, like, I used to never be able to even part with my artwork. I was so attached to it. I put my soul into that shit. And I was so upset that somebody would do that to my artwork that I printed off a sign on bright pink paper that said security camera in use and hung them up in all the hallways. There were no security cameras.
But oh, my God.
I hung them up in the hallway and nobody did that shit ever again.
That's insane. And that's good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
So, yeah, I guess that's early childhood memories. You know, when we're older, that's going to be an early childhood memory.
I'm trying to think. Let me think of another.
Wait, I know. The earliest childhood memory that we don't remember, but we experienced together.
When we were in the hopsicle.
The hopsicle together in the baby room.
When we were probably in the baby room together.
I swear to God we were. Like, there's no way we weren't.
But doesn't
all babies, unless you're in the NICU, at the small hospital we were born in, go into this one baby room. And I was in the hospital for like 3 or 4 days because I was premature, but not premature enough to be in the NICU. I think we were there for 4 days. And we were born in the same hospital and we were definitely in the hospital together. But I swear to God, there's no way we did not share time in that baby room together.
We were in the baby room together. We probably.
That's a memory. When one day, when my life is flashing before my eyes on my deathbed, or I can, like, become the ghost of Christmas past, I want to be able to go back to that moment. And I want to know where our relationship started. Cause it was the day you were born. We were both in that hospital together in the same goddamn hospital.
And I want to see that.
I want to see that moment.
It's just so cute.
I know.
I wish that we
could. That's our earliest childhood memory that we don't actually remember, but, like, it definitely happened.
I know. I really wish. Sometimes I wish that, like, I mean, I guess I could ask my grandma, you know, and find out if how long I was there.
Yeah.
Or, like, I wonder, I don't even know if I was supposed to be born when I was born, but I think I was, like, a normal weight. I think I came on time.
I was, like, 2 or 3 weeks early. I was like 5 pounds when I was born, which is pretty tiny. I remember my dad telling me he could fit my entire body in his hand. Like, he held me, like, he would hold out his hand and he would say, your entire body fit in my hand.
Aww.
Which is so, isn't that crazy to think,
little, like, baby
one time? That is insane.
You're so tiny.
So little.
So teens.
Now I'm 5'7" and got feet the size of a Sasquatch.
I could never fit into your shoes. You do have feet that are way bigger than mine.
I got big ass feet. My mom did tell me I was born with big ass feet. She's like, you were this tiny ass baby with some big ass feet.
Those are the last things that came out.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was so small. I used to tell her, I was like, you're welcome for being so small for your first baby. I just shot right out.
Yeah, just flew right out. What if you could remember being born? What a weird, overly intimate, like, a memory that would be.
My aunt says that she remembers being in the womb and being born.
Stop. Does she really?
I mean, hell if I know, but she says she does.
I mean, like, what does she say it was like floating
she
around?
She just says she remembers feelings of being in the womb. She remembers, like, the color of the light and how it was, like, this pink red because she was, like, in the womb. And she can remember being warm and wet. And she can remember, like, hearing muffled sounds. And I'm like, damn, girl.
I don't know if I'd be wanting to remember that shit.
It's kind of impressive.
Because then you would remember being birthed.
Yeah.
No, that's she's terrifying.
Yeah. She also has a photographic memory. She legitimately has a photographic memory. So I, you know, if anybody's going to tell me they remember being in the womb and I believe it, it's going to be her.
Because that, I don't know, man. That would mean that, what, Aria? God, these cats are so ridiculous. I wish you could see this. She's just stuck her nose like through the door and she's just looking at me. Like you were just in here. Like, see, there she is. Yeah. Oh. She left.
She said, reverse, reverse.
Reverse, reverse. Everybody get the fuck out. But yeah. Wait, what was I saying?
Oh, just remembering being born is a very traumatic. That would be a very traumatic memory.
I mean, you're being sucked out through a hole.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you go from being warm and cozy and hearing your mom's heartbeat, and there's fucking lights in your face, people are fucking sticking shit down your throat, getting the goop out of your mouth, and they're giving you shots, and it's cold.
And your ass is getting smacked.
Your ass is getting smacked. Like, you know, that's traumatizing. Your head comes out a weird fucking shape.
Yeah, your head comes out like oblong.
Like a cone.
Cone head.
Yeah, because your skull is still soft and it has to fit out of a cervix.
So wait, how do skulls form normally? Like, do they just like over the next few days they start to like flatten out or be normal looking?
I think it's so, yeah, in the first few days after being born or first few weeks, your baby's head will become a normal shape, but they're soft until like age one. They're not as soft as when they're born, and they're purposefully, I'm pretty sure, like, I'm no doctor, I've never had kids, but I'm pretty sure babies' heads purposefully are soft when you're, because like women would never be able to push out a hard ass head a normal shape. Like it purposefully is soft to fit out of a, to be squeezed out of a vagina.
Jesus.
And then over the course of the next couple of days and weeks, the baby's head becomes a normal shape, and then it's not a fully hard ass head until they're like one or two or something.
So first of all, this podcast is slowly turning into something that resembles like the Vagina Diaries. Second of all, what happens if you drop, is that why when people say like you drop a baby, like that's why it's like so bad, because their heads are soft?
Yeah, babies' heads are, and when they're one, their heads aren't as soft as when they're newborns, but have you ever heard that babies have like soft spots
mm-hmm.
on their head? Because I think it's like the very back, like right here, at like the end of your part, right at the very back. And it almost feels like there's a flatter spot, at least for me. Maybe I was dropped, I don't know. There's like a certain spot on the head that takes like the longest to harden. And so that's what, yeah, when you don't want to drop, I mean, you don't want to drop a baby, I guess, in general, but especially because in the first year of life, their heads are really soft because they're still developing.
That reminds me, another early childhood memory. One time my grandma was watching my baby cousin, Josh, and I remember he was laying on the couch beside me, like, and he was at the age where he could roll. And I mean, I was a child. I didn't know anything about freaking babies, you know, and she was sitting, I think she was sitting on the other side of him, and he all of a sudden, oh my God, I'm so sleepy. He all of a sudden just got up the, like, he just got this burst of energy and he straight like tumbled off the couch so quick. And she picked him up and she was like screaming and she was like, oh my God, oh my God. And she was blowing in his face. I think he was holding his breath because he was scared and she was trying to get him to breathe.
Oh.
And she had like a washcloth on the back of his head. I'm like, yeah, a washcloth is really gonna help when a baby like fell on their head. But he just turned into a little baby bowling ball. And he decided he was going to roll off the couch out of nowhere. It was just so sudden. Like, we were right there and he just straight bounced off the fucking couch.
Damn. He was. Yeah. While this podcast turns into the Vagina Diaries, everybody snort your birth control right now.
Yeah. Everyone snort your birth control or stick it up your butt.
Real this way. Is your reminder if you aren't trying to have kids.
Literally. Snort that shit. If you're not trying to have kids, for someone who is like so anti like kids at this point in my life, like I'm not on birth control and I'm glad I'm not, because I was so depressed and miserable on it. But yeah. Ooh, Lord,
yeah, I'm having a good old time on mine.
There's that.
Just I'm having symptoms of Nexplanon that haven't been pleasant. I'm trying.
Yeah. I'm trying. If any of you guys have been on Nexplanon and have experienced crappy long-term side effects, send us a message with what you did to make them stop.
Yeah, I would be very interested to know.
Oh my God. Why am I yawning so much? I guess I did a lot of walking today around.
You're making me yawn.
Well, stop it. We still have to pick out an outfit for you. Stop yawning. I know.
But yeah, I guess that's like, we kind of just expected this episode to be a free-for-all, just talking back and forth, and there was no outline or no idea of what we wanted to say. But let's put an Easter egg at the end of this episode. For people, okay, let's pick an emoji.
Squatting emoji.
The monkey squatting emoji. Okay, yep. So if you listened all the way to this point in the episode, head over to the Instagram post and comment the monkey squatting emoji.
Yeah.
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 I like those.
And a lot of people should be getting their sweatshirts and stuff in the mail now. And I think the sweatshirts are probably what takes the longest to ship because everything's like custom printed. Yeah. So when your stuff is getting you, we want to freaking see.
Yeah. We've already seen a couple of photos and everything looks so cute. Thank you for your support.
I was dying I love it. I think it's, the podcast host of Empowered Spirituality podcast.
Mm-hmm. And go check out her podcast too.
Yeah. It was her cute little mug. And I was just like, it just fills me with all the warmth.
Go check out the warmth of hexing the patriarchy.
All the warmth. Oh yeah. By the way, if you order the Hexing the Patriarchy sweatshirt and you have a black animal, I highly suggest that you get it in a different color other than white, because I have had to lint roll that sweatshirt so many times because of my black animals, but it is so comfortable. And I ordered it. Oh my God.
Although I got the black one. I have a cream colored cat and I have the same issue because he's got cream fur, white fur, depending on the season, because he's Siamese and his fur changes color. But yeah, I have to lint roll that thing because, I mean, it's just so soft. He loves cuddling up on it and covering me in cat hair.
My serotonin sweatshirt, the black one, I get white hair all over it. And then my white sweatshirt, I get the black hair all over it. So I really wish I'd ordered it in different colors. I probably will eventually, but.
And I've washed mine a couple times now. And the quality, honestly, I swear to God, it's getting softer every time I wash it.
Yeah, I agree. It's so cozy. I'm about to cuddle up in that shit after we get off this episode.
Right?
I got a burp. Oh, I did it.
I did it.
I did it. I ain't gonna do it.
I did Don't it. Don't do it, girl.
Don't do it, girl. Don't do it, girl. Now what, we have 10 more episodes or 9 more episodes until we record together?
So after this is the 10th episode. So this is episode 53 and we will be recording together on episode 63.
It's gonna be here before we know it.
It's gonna be. What is that, a SpongeBob quote? I can't remember.
I don't know. I never watched SpongeBob. That's another childhood memory I don't have. I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Oh, really?
My grandma said it rotted your brain.
Yeah, my mom thought the same shit. But my dad was like, I'm gonna let her watch everything her mom says that she can't watch so that I can be the good parent. He was trying to play good cop. And he would let me watch all the shit my mom wouldn't let me watch.
We love pitting family members against each other.
Yeah. Jesus. I could only watch SpongeBob at my dad's house because my mom thought that shit was gonna rot my brain.
Whatever. Oh my god, I can't stop yawning. Okay, you know what? Whatever. We're gonna close off this freaking episode because I'm yawning into the camera and into the microphone and it's
yeah, so you're funny. Like giving me that shit.
Sorry. We love you guys. Make sure you go follow us on Instagram at the Witchful Thinking Podcast and check out our merch. Link will be in the description of this episode. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.